Hello, Jesse Dele. Nice to see you all. Shall we start now with the prayer of the aspiration to generate compassion? May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. One can check their own mind without bias and pre-opinion or precondition preconception, and then if your mind hasn't have arisen those great compassion yet, so then we should think of all beings with the consciousness. They have a different capacity to re seek searching, or we can seeking for happiness in with the all beings with the consciousness. They have a ability to differentiate harm, suffering, and pleasure. What is benefit and what is harm? What is suffering? What is pleasure? If they have a body, it immediately body tells being what is what we should avoid. Basically, safety, prosperity, survive. These are basic needs for all sentient beings. And based on that, the human complication is a little more, much more, than some other sentient beings. Or we believe there are different realms. There are far more capable beings than human also too. Complicated and, or, pure, more sophisticated, more capabilities possessed by beings in different realms. So all common there is all although there's a variety of different beings, but the common thing is we all seeking for freedom and happiness. These are the same. So just one reason we can generate compassion equally towards all sentient beings. Because we have a consciousness, they do possess consciousness. We do have some sense of, some sort of body. Physical form of body, body, this body, and then each sentient beings have a subtle or gross body. They're possessed by their own, associated with their mind. So, there are some commons each or every sentient beings. And with this, I'm going to quickly read this again, because this is just practice, not for really with the mind of practice. We should over and over again to think about some concepts and some teachings from Karel Gongchong. Those are, which is some sentence, those stanzas very, very helpful. For some people, maybe all of these are all precious. For some people, maybe think this is, I don't disagree with that, or this is just for monk, or some, maybe there is some, but generally with a good intention and at least there is no harm. Only different level of benefits. So we're going to, see what is time now. Because this stanza each time may be a little bit long. So we don't have much time to read each time. But it's, I think it's better to read one more time. I prostrate to the Guru's precious jewel and spiritual friend, Yidam deities and three jewels. I supplicate to you, be my crown jewel. While being my crown ornament, please took upon my shameless mind. For phony practitioners who lack dharma and have a shameless and wrong intentions, I'm giving advice as a remedy. This will help you long. So listen. If you do not expose your thoughts, you will not understood, not understand you. Dolt means stupid person, right? If you don't listen to loving advice, you are just getting worse and worse. Your present sufferings all occur because you have done wrong things in your past lives. The fault is yours. Prepare to bear hardship. Do not take the moral high ground. All pains and pleasure of the present depends on the karma of from the past. So you do not have any choice. Whatever happens, try make it your friend. It's like that meaning is that make you it your friend. The pleasure of this life are fleeting. If you want lasting happiness, you must willingly accept all the minor sufferings of this life. Of this world. Even the tiniest present pains can exhaust the sufferings from the past deeds and become pleasure in the future. So cultivate joy for suffering. Adversity is a spiritual friend. Obstacles inspire spiritual practice. Suffering is the broom of misdeeds. Don't be upset or view them as a misfortune. Fame is flattery of the Maras. Respect is the lasso of the three fetters. The lasso of fetters. Good fortune is blocked to spiritual practice. Do not view poison as medicine. If you don't cut through the idea of a project, whatever you do, you will never be happy. For those who see through their own projections, misfortune appear as a friend. If you aren't embarrassed by your own mind, other rebukes are an illusion. If you aren't embarrassed by your own mind, means you have nothing to embarrass. That's exactly. Others rebukes or anger to dislike you, like, are the, and you can see them as an illusion, are illusion. Don't listen to others' words. Instead, make your own mind the judge. Do not build yourself up in this life using Dharma to deceive by acting counter to Dharma as if that were Dharma. Put the worldly out of your mind. Of the two, fame and bounty in this life, and the Dharma that helps in the next, do not just do whichever comes up, or else whatever carries you away. Definitely practice the Dharma for the next or long-term benefit or liberation. Nothing is rarer than an entourage with the faith and respect. Nothing is worse than a scoundrel for a leader. Don't act like big wig admired by all. Grasp the humble aspect of lowliness. You are the lowest in the world. Being envious and competitive towards others with merit, while unashamed of your own faults, is mistake. Without reversing from deep within, desire for appearances, sensory objects, do not act to deceive lay people by faking a wish to be venerable. Unless you have convictions in your mind about the sutra and the tantra that Buddha taught, don't be so proud and delude yourself by clinging to jargon and words. Ingrained from the beginningless time, misconceptions are not discarded at once. So don't expect excellence too soon. Develop your mind gradually. Doing studies and competitively, being a teacher for fame, and keep speaking with the pride of wanting to be erudite. Think these three become Dharma. Think, can these three become Dharma? Definitely not, right? This is not benefit in teaching others. There is no benefit in teaching others what hasn't risen in your own mind. You should be ashamed of yourself, so do not sell the true Dharma for gain. Not feeling truly weary with the world, you keep the eight concern in your heart, and feign renunciation to others. Do not grumble too much. So these are all like inside and appearance. It's like acting, like show. Even teaching Dharma becomes show, then it's a problem. Your mouth has great faith, inside you have a little. While thinking you will do something, you've grown old. You are quick to start, but slow to mature. Meditate on being disgusted with yourself or embarrassed by with yourself. Just as the nature of fire is hot, the nature of beings is to be, is to have a faults. Instead of thinking of others' flaws, consider your own and give up them. The behavior of Mahayana Guru may not look good on the outside, but you don't know their innermost thoughts, so do not ponder the Guru's faults. Any thoughts in your mind is clear, and unobscured to the Buddha's wisdom. Do not let bad thoughts, that would offend the Yidam deity by staring in your mind, Yidam deity staring in your mind. Like sighted people among the blind, the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas always see unobscured vision. Do not behave badly in private. Ordinary beings are hard to please from familiarity. Instead of your qualities, they will see your faults and criticize you. Practice in solitude. All parents, children, nieces and nephews, cousins and relatives in this life, are like travelers arriving and leaving in your a hotel, a hostel, like inn. In your own mind, do not feel related. This is really like a more renunciation, how you practice to kind of leave too much desire or too close to some people, to reject some people and receiving some people. That kind of the attachment for closed one too strong. Sometimes it's self-identity belongs to this, that, this is my relative, that is, these are sometimes seen as a good moral conduct, moral qualities in secular world. It's a good thing if you say, oh, I have a very strong even attachment or supportive mind towards relatives, then people seeing you as a contributor to the community or family members. But the other hand, we are talking about going beyond of samsara, then these are the source of attachment and aversion. Sometimes love closed makes no most suffering, create most of sufferings, greater suffering than strangers. Or because our attachment, we don't see the reality, then we lost our kind of basic principle due to attachment and aversion or hatred. Hatred came from, sometimes it's like young people, like being girlfriend or boyfriend for a while. And then for some reason, argument and separation came. Then even hatred or saying each other's negative aspect of their life, or criticizing people, or sometimes not all of people. Of course, some people still remain good friends, or these are much better. But sometimes hatred rises. Or someone harm your loved one, then you're going to have a hatred. Some people identity not bound with the family, but the country. Then your country actions are doing some harm and very bad thing, then, but because you already have a concept of the other country is your enemy, so destroying their happiness or habitat or anything, then consider acceptable action. Or it's like a different group of people or religious people also same. Sometimes, not we are not generalizing everybody, but it's a phenomenon that happens once in a while or happening in different levels. Is that if your so-called your group or your which you think belong, then any outside the so-called I saw outside people criticize or your inside people doing the wrong thing, you still support inside people, so-called outside people, you still criticize that those are wrong because that is based on the so-called our and they and the me our also we and they, that kind of like two party also same. Once they become so-called competitive attitude and even enemy eyes kind of become like counterpart, then the no matter they did right, then you still think that is wrong. If they did wrong, of course you think that is wrong, but even they did right, but you cannot accept that is right. So these are not very healthy. It's human kind of mind flaws, mind like that. So now we are in this part today. Twenty-eight. When you leave empty-handed and naked, though poor, you still leave things behind. Don't gather things by doing wrong. From deep within, commit to begging. As we said, this Karo Gomchon himself is great yogi and wonders. He is really kind of no family, no like big monastery head or something, but he lives in most of his life in study different community with a different master and other times they're teaching and they're practicing, and sometimes most of also maybe 10 to 15 more years he's in a retreat by himself with a very little need. So he's a great example of a really high standard that kind of practitioner. So although maybe we don't have that kind of a karma or we don't have that his like encouragement, his courage to do such a thing, but still there is a good message from him to inspire us to kind of progress a little bit. So they said we came with the empty-handed and naked, like child born. Everyone is the same. We leave it same also too. When we leave, some maybe have a, of course it's really not completely naked, but in Tibet it's like that sky barrel, those like a sea body as a elements of these kind of four basic elements: earth, fire, water, heat, of those same things. So we don't put more lot of effort or to decorate the body of a human when somebody is passed. The mind body is separate. Then from some other traditions, they really still have a you respect the person who passed away, and also there's a culture, the parents the physical appearance is very important. So they still keep, kept their image and even some belongings, and mark their name on the stone or piece of wood, or these, it's common practice in many places. But in Tibet, it's very different. People almost don't, if one family member pass away, so all his belongings is given to people or sell it to change to money to offering, or given to poor people, or offering to monkshood to give them some drinks or food, or can offer money or something. Or you can use that money to liberate fish, releasing fish, or save some lives, like that. So we don't, most of the people don't keep that wealth belong to somebody who passed away. So his share or belong to him. And also sometimes when the other family members' wealth also to do good Dharma activity to support. So then his belongings, even clothes, those after that you won't see much. And the body itself also too, for some people you have to keep some dear or memorize this person, because you need we believe like reincarnation, and reincarnation, maybe it's not right words, it's like a mind stream, continuation of mind stream, continuation of a energy, physical energy or mental energy, continuation flow, continue flows. And so with the different karmic coincidence, then with the kind of merit or bad karma or right virtuous karma, they will form different lives. So in that sense, death is not the end, but the beginning of some other life. So life is kind of a, when as newborns starting count, see as a kind of a journey to death. Life, when you life, it's always, there's a the big transformation, transform is death, is kind of waiting, like counting back, counting down. So when pass away, then it's through bardo, and the new kind of born is counted up like that. So anyway, this doesn't really, not, the costume is not important, but here it's saying, after we know we are not possessor, but we are temporarily owner, not owner, but lending everything. So when we already say, oh, we don't want to create wealth through create negative karma, because wealth won't stay. Karma also won't stay forever, but it's an imprint karma. You have to purify your own mind, then do good thing, void of harm, negative things, and continuously purifying your own mind, effort from through studying, reflecting, meditation, and changing your behavior. Then consider wealth is just a side support, not the main aim, or what we pursuing is more positive karma and wisdom. More than any particular possessing material wealth. So it said, if you say, somebody say, oh, you can create a billion, you can become a billionaire, then the method is to build factory, kill fish or something, then we think, oh, that is totally, you don't have to think a second, just say no, because billions of money, how you use it, continue, we don't, how long you can use it, just in this life. Where you use it, maybe create more negative karma. Probably, maybe, maybe, but may not. But also, the killing so much lives that much heavier than the what we earned or own the through that wealth. It's not really even balanced kind of a karma. So you have a short happiness or create wealth, but have a very difficult life in the future, long term. So it said, don't just, this is just an example that so, or any wrong livelihood, so create sufferings, mental or physical suffering to others, other sentient beings. It's wrong to gain money from that. And all cheatings and all poisoning people's body and mind, everything, those are not good. So giving people more, you know, wisdom and peaceful life, it's important. All beings. So without those negative karma, you are no more chance, no much chance to become wealthier. Then accept that reality and spend less. All have a different way to live. You can become very expensive life, but you can remain less expensive lifestyle. Keep like spending less. When you have a how much you earn, you kind of make a circle of how much you spend like that. And now you have no power to stay forever in the tall houses that you built. So don't do pointless construction work. Keep to mountain retreats. This is also especially important. For example, we construct a big town hall or monastery or big stupa. These could have some benefit for the community or become famous site, or many tourists come and then you become famous or more income or possible those, or really people have a faith, they can physically and mentally gain some benefit through circumambulation practice. And then vendors came to buy, do business, restaurant and the tourist company or these, or real practice, practitioners stayed there for monastery, and the you can accompany them, provide food and the shelter and everything. Then it's some benefit is there, but depends on the person who abbot or anyone who construct the work. If their mind, mental kind of attitude is mainly occupied by this is mine, that is mine, and I built that, I did that, that kind of pride and very strong attachment, then difficult to say for personally how you that benefit one really for liberation. Maybe even create more ego and egocentric attitude. And you can use, you cannot practice Dharma. There is no one kind of so-called negative karma called because you don't practice Dharma. So that is the particular karma you created, not practicing Dharma. There's no, I think, a single karma called karma, negative karma that create that from you are not practicing Dharma. But if you do some related to Dharma work, but actually mind mentally, you are very worldly kind of mind, then you can, in name of Dharma, do a lot of harm and a lot of bad things. So that really in kind of dharmic the appearances carrying devil's work or something like that, you know, this happens. So be careful of supposedly when you're engaging with Dharma, then it creates virtuous deeds and approaching to liberation. That is a right kind of a general path. But in particular case, because of one's own attitude, mental disposition, or the what you are aiming for make differences. Even in name of Dharma, we can create a lot of negative karma, and then against the Lord Dharma, actually, in practice, we are like parting from Dharma. It doesn't matter we what to color of a, wear, robes we wear, or we stay in a monastery or Dharma center, but it doesn't really make decisive change. All Dharma said, all the Buddha said, actually, your own mind is the king, decide everything. Then when you genuinely kind of see your own mind, it's very important. So here it suggests, they said, oh, you should, you shouldn't to do a lot of constructions and do a lot of the things in many places. Now, of course, in the India, there are a lot of monasteries used to be very big. Now it's ruined sites. Remain really a little bit the foundation. This happens. And in China, I think in Japan also some sense I heard of that happens. You can see many great, built the monasteries. But if you went inside, there's no much Dharma, really spiritual practice there. Many people, just the tourist, like a tourist site, already become, there is no teaching, no practice. Some, maybe there are a few, 10, 15 or few people, 20 people there, but having some very premature basic kind of chantings, then no further activities. Some places they have a teaching and everything, of course. But many, many of the, I can say, high percentage of them, it's appearance, it's like very, very beautiful, but inside almost empty. This situation, I think, also gradually happening in Tibet. These 10, 20 years, a lot of new monasteries built and high statues is there, but the monk is very sharply decreasing, the number of monk. So anyway, so statue itself or the is sometimes very needed and useful for some beings, but not very the essential kind of the part of the practice of Dharma. Enlightenment is not just construction. It's inner work is more important. For some monastery, there are a lot of monks, but they don't have a good place to, warm place and nice and need place. They need a good place. Also, those situations also happen, there. So sometimes we are not saying we don't need any construction, but the essential Dharma is related to individual's mind. So think of those liberation and what is really Dharma, essence of Dharma. And now we, when the unmarried get married, child they do not need are born, they will have to be shameless beggars. Don't listen to bad advice to take a spouse. That's because a monk in like Thailand or different community, I think in Tibet also too, in some sense. Some become monk very young age in Nepal and India too. Nowadays, Himalayan region. They become monk very early age and then went to study a sutra and the teachings. And they don't, sometimes some monasteries don't have the curriculum of math and the other modern kind of classes. More after they disrobed, then they only know some knowledge about inner world, but they don't have a language skill, math or physics or chemistry or this knowledge one need to go to other higher education requires basic knowledge of this. So they have a closed lot of group, doors is shuttered for them. So only to go back to village and do kind of a to have in family life and cultivate land or do some small business. Those are happens. So encouraging monk said you should stay monkhood much more important. Due to different reason, we cannot understand. We understand there are also you can take monk vows, and you can also give it back to monks and the monastery. There is a procedure you can kind of take steps to drop from monk kind of hood. This is allowed already mentioned in sutra and the Dharma, the Vinaya. When you become monk, nobody can force you to become monk. When you say, I don't want to be a monk anymore, you have the rights to do it. But also there are many other teachings in Sutra Vinaya then said it's better to kind of continue being monk. It's a lot of merit. And when you really broken vows, then it's also create negative karma. But before you broken, you say, oh, now I'm like giving back this vow to who kind of giving me or community that he belonged to. You say, before you breaking that vow, you giving back, it's okay. Because it is said, when I'm married, they get married and child, they don't need, they do not need are born. They will have to be shameless beggar. That means, because we, today's world is, everything is like, you have to, work and, you get your loan. Borrow money and there are high fees you have to pay back and overdraft. These many things happens once you have a family. You have to work in the, if you have a high salary or you got high income, then it may be not big problem financially. But for many people, you have to send to college kids to college and do everything necessary training. You need to become a billionaire, ready to prepare for 1 billion to pay for everything. So in some country, government help some. Or you say, oh, I don't want my kids go to college. High school is enough. Then maybe different story. But at least in some poor country have many kids, then it's very difficult. So voiding of those path of life, then he said, don't listen to bad advice from friends or family or relatives or parents. If you say you already have a family, so then can be with them in good way. Don't kind of create conflicts, but more harmonious and more compassion towards each other. Appreciate the existence of each other. It's this attitude, say we are all temporary life, so we are very, very happy, and who kind of somehow we become a close friend or family, then everyone contributes some happiness and benefit for each other. Then those are important. But before, sometimes not everything happened in ideal way. So before, if you have a chance to choose, then they say, oh, maybe not marry, become monk, or it's also clean, kind of a less trouble life. And then the great beings who are free of desire have no need of karma mudra. When the mind is mixed with the desire, the mudra will lead you to lower realm. That means there is a tantric teaching or Vajrayana teachings, the Anuttara Yoga, that is called the path of a skillful means, or the path of a great bliss. That means some have ability, use powerful meditation techniques in a highly trained person to transform ordinary pleasure or worldly kind of desire into vehicle or for spiritual transformation and liberation. This so-called technical path of training is there. Different trainings, but this is not for ordinary beings like us. It's a really long-term effort and practice, particular kind of a skill, so-called the completion stages, with a combination of control the channels and air and drops, then possibly that helps people. And these are like some yogi or yogini, these like couples, but it's actually good practitioners. Those happens. There are these people, but the population or the number is very low always. But some other people may think this is very easy and this is suitable for me to still have a very strong attachment to worldly desire, then in name of Anuttara Yoga or something with the karma mudra or these thinking, these beautiful words decorated their action, and then it's a self-deceiving thing. Then create negative karma. It said the mudra will lead you to lower realms, actually. But if people who have a qualified those practitioners, then it's a path to liberation. But these are, I think, almost these lineage is very narrow and almost like no much people to practice in Tibet and also too. So it said, don't fool yourself. What level you are, you just clearly alert your what state you are, And of course, beyond these karma mudra or these, you can use jhana mudra or the powerful, it's also belong to the Anuttara Yoga Tantra. So-called advice, complete stage to practice and visualizing like a image front of yourself and with whom been have a very strong meditation, have a very shamatha meditation, also spiritual insight and with the control of physical body elements, these quite matured. Then with this energy or wind dissolve into central channel and then clear light cognition of emptiness can rise in your mind. It's achieving same result, but this don't need to become so-called karma mudra. This anyway, these are quite different path that we don't have at the cross. Don't look at inferiors, bad example. The causes of non-dharmic behavior. Instead, see them as a deserving compassion and follow the Mahasiddha's footsteps. So this is saying, what causes non-dharmic behavior is we are engaging or looking or inferior's bad example. We don't look up to good example, but it's like a yogi or accomplished person who has attained supreme accomplishment, then we should always see them as example. Don't compare yourself to the most immature or lower kind of beginner's level of practice. So then, or is this is not beginner's practice. Inferior bad example means like the people are not doing right way. Then you imitate them, following them is wrong. Don't even look at their kind of too much. Don't pay too much attention to bad example, because when you pay too much bad attention to bad example, then somehow you also polluted by them their example, or you kind of or everybody doing this, so why I can't, like that mental comes, mind comes, race. Oh. When you need to look at them, those bad examples with the compassion, it said, instead the season, see them as deserving compassion means, we don't have a hatred towards any kind of a people who are not doing right way, right things, proper way. But when you have to think like a dedicate karma merit, virtuous karma or merit to them, you think of all different people who sometimes lacking of a clear wisdom, went wrong path or engaging wrong activities, then with the compassion, with the right motivation, you can think of them and prayer for them or compassion to dedicate your merit, but don't become like them, like these bad examples said. Skillfully giving up negative friends, following exalted spiritual friends with the learning and the venerable qualities who have given up this world. Here, generally, we are talking about how we set renunciation deep within our mind. So because renunciation, you can say it's a foundation for three levels of practice. First level is renunciation. Second level, you have, because you are not really strong, you don't have a strong attachment toward the things, then you might, your mind become more freedom. You have a freedom, you become more free man, free woman. These don't bother you too much, worldly things. Gain or lose or doesn't really hurt you too much. Praise or criticize, we don't really take that as a very hard hit or personal, become a personal issue. And sometimes the sad and the happiness comes when swing between others' words. If you heard something good, you suddenly become very happy. You heard something negative words, then you feel very immediately kind of unhappy. Then its mind is still not mature yet. Doesn't matter other people what to say. You have your own view. You don't need to rely on others' words, your view. So some people may say you are garbage or something. You see, you don't have a hatred to them, the other people who say that. You just see they are not happy. Just that's all. Because they said you are garbage, you won't become garbage. That is a fact. So based on that, you don't have to be angry by playing their emotion with their emotion. So anyway, this will give the renunciation is very important to free negative emotions and controlled by negative emotions. One could really gain freedom and then cultivate with compassion and the wisdom. It's much easier. So skillfully give up means sometimes some people, it's so-called negative friends, doesn't mean they are having fangs or in their teeth and having fire came from their mouth or smoke their nose or something like that. It's so terrible. Everybody think that's not my friend. But it's a friend with nice words, smiley words, but the negative, wrong behavior. Sometimes because wrong behavior you should wear. Doesn't matter it's a relative or friend, a so-called friend or anything. You don't probe them because they are like you or same skin or anything like that. But it is just to see characters, whatever they were doing and what kind of... you should have the ability to individually kind of choose what kind of a person you want to become. That is very important. And then if you want to kind of give up negative friends, there is a skillful way. Do not like create furthermore issue, anger. Use kind of a if they don't, they are your friend, so-called friend, is doing negative things. But if you straightforwardly tell them, they not really helping. If they are not accepting, ready to accept, then doesn't really help them, but to create personal issues between them, between you and them. So you may silently kind of keep distance. Do not engage too much. If some friends are negative, but they really appreciate your friendship and trust you, then you may have a chance to say, oh, what we are now doing, some are good, some are wrong, we should change these. Then if they can listen, then you can continue with a friend. If they don't really appreciate your advice, or even you have to check your advice is right or wrong, aware about your advice. But once you firmly sure that this person won't change their behavior, then keep distance is better. So it's learned or exalted person means like a good, they're pursuing some high wisdom, high kind of higher training or discipline. These then they could be following them with them, being friend with them, who have a good quality. That here we're saying, giving up the outwardly dharma, those people you should kind of easily being with them. They don't really harm you for a worldly reason. It's much safe, and also they have a good future. And then I think it's time is now, but I am trying to do one thing. As with the wish fulfilling jewel, blessings come from the respect in your mind. As blessings came from the respect in your mind. Have a fervent devotion for the deities, the gurus, and the three jewels. These are very important words. It said, we are saying, oh, we should receive in blessings from holy beings or these venerable people. But they said, actually, the blessing came from the respect in your mind. Your mind become negative thoughts, so many different negative thoughts, then we are actually associating with so-called different demons, or there's no real demon outside. You can say there are, but these are not important. You are not you are not belong to them. You have a very different characters. You don't have the cross or what's a connection with them. But once inner mind have so many negativities, then these demons, these negative thoughts itself is really once you have these, you easily associate with the external demons, like people who have a criminal mind, then they are easily fit into criminal organization. But one have a very different attitude and view, they are not belong to same group. They don't really become member of them, part of them. So the first responsibility is, if you don't want to become a criminal, then you have to be careful of any criminal thought of your own mind. Similarly, the blessing that you want to receive a blessing from compassion, wisdom, that aspect of a blessing, then you have to be a compassionate person. You have to study and practice to kind of increase your own ability to see things as it is, that ability to attain omniscience that rises from your own mind. Respect that path and value that path, those teachings and the state of mind. So with this accompanied with this the path and the stages or mental state, then this devotion to deity, as we said, this deity actually fundamentally talking about our own thought and guru's inner guru, outer guru, it's same. Inner guru have a, you can say you have wisdom seeds, then how you mature your wisdom seeds, learn from teacher, learn from friend, virtuous friend, and eventually your inner wisdom, these shines. Similarly, three jewels, these are the source of develop your good qualities, so a source of object that you can discipline yourself, increase your quality and wisdom and compassion through these. But for these karmic connections, you have to be really respect them inside of you. When say, oh, I wanted to, I'm a very pride person, so much as a pride, the you say or doesn't say one have a strong ego or something, then pride is naturally can come. Then how you become, you learn like a humble, or how you have a one key or one button to transform this pride, then it's also the to how to learn to respect not only the deity or gurus and the rituals, but also other people's suffering and happiness. Respect in the deep sense, you have to respect even the so-called demon or these, because they are not a forever demon. They are from man or God realms. They come to the stage, and they may in one day also go back to human or God, different beings, characters. Eventually, they also become Buddha. Chance is there. So with this, I think we're going to stop here. But as we said before, firstly, we should differentiate virtue and non-virtue, and then we follow virtuous kind of example. We don't say, oh, because we respect everybody, every being's our mother, like sentient being. So people are doing very negative things, and they say, oh, saying that is same with the virtual thing. We don't say that. This is a different leading, different kind of future. So it's important to have a devotion towards compassion, wisdom, that path. So now, thank you very much. On time is there. Right. May the lives of glorious master be secure, and may all beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purifying all negative karma, and sweetly reach enlightenment. Thank you very much. See you on Thursday.